Welcome to the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series, where your host, Andy Jacob, interviews leading entrepreneurs, founders, and CEOs about their incredible companies and discusses their unique entrepreneurial journeys. If you're the CEO or founder of an exciting and exceptional company, the editorial team of .com Magazine welcomes you to pitch your business story to appear on this exciting interview series by reaching out to Mr. Jacob at .com Magazine at .commagazine.com. And without further ado, here is another amazing entrepreneurial story on the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series.
Hello, everyone. Andy Jacob here with the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series. I've been waiting for this show for a number of weeks because I've been able to invite a real leader. This is someone that's really revitalized the technology industry with his company. I mean, what he's doing at Software Consulting Services is really amazing. Of course, everybody also knows that part of the website that you can go to get the services is called BeTheGeek.com, which I love. And I say that all the time, Be the Geek. So, you know, you go to BeTheGeek.com and he's got so many of his offerings there on that website. But listen, we've been able to invite a real leader, Mr. Coy Gauthier. And you probably know Coy. You probably heard about his exploits in technology. He founded the company in 2003. Coy, what a great pleasure to have you on the show today.
Thank you, Andy. Appreciate you having me on the show. It's really an honor, and I'm looking forward to having a conversation with you.
Yeah, it's super cool to have you. I mean, you're known throughout the industry as a leader. But before we get started, because I have so many questions that I have for you, and so many of the people that watch the show, you know, they always say, hey, when you get a tech guy or gal on the show, ask them these questions. So we'll get into it. But before we get started, let's pull the lens back to 30,000 feet as we've become famous for throughout the internet on the .com Magazine show, and tell us about what you're doing with BeTheGeek.com or, of course, you know, Software Consulting Services.
Great. So we are a full service IT consultancy. In this day and age, that's a little unique. Normally, I think one of the most successful models I've seen is, you know, niche into just software development, or specifically sometimes just one or two products. And then you have, of course, on the engineering side, you have specialties that people will get into, like firewall programming or security and these things. But rarely do you have the combination of both. And that's something SES has done well. We've grown that over 18 years now. It's been quite a while. And we realized we were building great software, and people would try to house it on and host it on their own systems, and maybe inadequate to house the amount of volume or activity they were going to get. And so we entered into the enterprise technology and services in 2004. It's been a minute. And from there, we grew it. So we're building the software, we're building the environments, we're securing the environments, and we're providing the support for the softwares as well. So it's sort of when I mean full service technology consultancy, you know, that's definitely what we are at our root.
Yeah, it's so interesting, Coy. Of course, in your background and experience, you've worked for some of the world's largest companies. I mean, Exxon, Chemical Americas, you know, Entergy, Nuclear Power, AT&T. I mean, these experiences really served you well. Can you remember when you finally decided sort of to build your business and go out on your own? What was that aha moment that you had, Coy, when you said to yourself, hey, I'm going to start my own business?
Well, you know, it's interesting, and I'm glad you prefaced it with my experience at Exxon. That was literally my first professional job, and I was 17 years old. They hired me to program lasers to read chemical content in plastics, and that's not something a typical 17-year-old knows how to do, right? Not in this day and age. And I got that knowledge from riding my skateboard to our public library. This is before the internet was around. This is in 1995. Right. I mean, you had some access to internet, but it wasn't like it is today. And, you know, bring that knowledge back home, and I try certain things out, but literally started my first job at 17 years old at Exxon. Fast forward a little bit, of course, some of the other places I'd worked, wonderful experiences in large corporate America. And I got to really get a deep dive and understanding of how, you know, some of those large corporate software development teams worked, you know. And then my latest experience, let's say where I was a part of another organization, we built a powerhouse of software development teams and network engineering teams. And we worked really, really close together. It's really one of the most functioning groups I'd ever worked with, because it wasn't just software developers complaining about the engineers, and it wasn't just engineers complaining about the software developers. It was really a team effort. And that caught my attention. Wow. You know, the world can work in a different, better capacity, and we can solve bigger problems. And so when we were with that information, and as I was finishing up my consulting gig, I looked around and said, wow, you know, I've got a nice set of contacts that I've met in the industry and in our local area. And it kind of made sense to, like, if I'm ever going to do it, and it's always been my dream to do it, now's the time to put my shingle on the wall, right? And that's when we decided to do it. And that was a scary first step, because we were not, you know, funded by, you know, these huge, elaborate, you know, .com funding sources. You know, you've heard all the stories. We didn't. We did it all on our own, you know, and we've never looked back. And we've maintained that actually so far. So.
I love it. I love it. And of course, the thing that you sort of hang your hat on, and the thing that really resonated for us at .com Magazine, Coy, when we looked at your business at Software Consulting Services, is you're dedicated to making businesses run smoother. And I love that so much, because really, your dedication is really to deliver premium IT expertise and real custom solutions to solve your clients, really what I call real world business problems. So where did that come from? Where did that idea come from, Coy, where it's all about making a business or your client's business run smoother?
It's actually a very easy thing for me to describe. We operate on a set of four core values, okay? We have value number one, be the client, right? And that is, you know, put yourself in the perspective of the client's needs. Like, why are they meeting with you? What are they looking to accomplish with this meeting? They usually, when they're talking to me, they usually have a problem they're trying to solve. And so that's number one, core value number one. Just put yourself in their shoes and know that they may not have all the answers, but they have maybe a lot of questions. And I'm just there to facilitate a path to actually accomplish whatever goal that's going to be. Second value is being the student, right? So everybody in our organization understands this core value as never stop learning. Always keep an open mind. There's everything you think you know. Hey, tomorrow in technology, you may have to throw it all out just because technology evolves and it matures, and your clients' technologies will evolve and they will mature. So, you know, always learn, always be the student. Be the helper, value number three. Being the helper is always take time to mentor your teammate, or sometimes you have to mentor up. You know, we all have a variety of life experiences, you know. So I might have a more mature mid-level programmer who's better at business than maybe their boss. You know, they may not, you know, from a technical lead versus, so it's an interesting dynamic. So there's, I don't want to call it flat, but we all interoperate. We may change our roles depending on the need of a particular situation. And of course, value number four, be the geek. Be the best at what you do. You know, if you're going to be unboxing computers for the latest project, then don't make a mess of the place. Unbox them well. If you're going to design a security solution for a bank, don't leave a stone unturned. Don't leave a thing unconfigured. Understand it, be the best at doing that configuration that it can possibly be. And that's being the geek, be the best at what you do.
Yeah, I love it, Coy. It reminds me of the famous book, you know, that good is the enemy of great, of course, and you want to be great in everything you do. And I know that be the geek, you guys do that. Now, let's talk about sort of what you're doing in the local market, because you've really revitalized the entire technological industry really within the Jackson metropolitan area and the surrounding areas. So interesting, because you sort of have a local viewpoint with regard to what you do at Be the Geek. So let's talk about that as well, because I found that to be very fascinating, that local revitalization that you're involved with.
Thank you. We are very focused on our local presence. Of course, Mississippi is not very well known for our technology progress, but we're growing. And a lot of that, I'd like to think, has a lot to do with SES's involvement. From a local standpoint, I mean, we have very small customers. Again, we started off with two folding tables in a back room, you know, so we never turned away a client, you know, back then. I mean, we'd change your oil if we thought it could help you, if it was part of the project. But locally, you know, we have like, I don't know, a small space junk company, you know, just help them with their email. And, you know, but we took their problem serious. And I actually like to use this as an example, because, you know, you don't think about it, but in a space junk company, it's important that they show up on time at the kid's birthday, right? Because if they're not there, everybody feels that, you know, so they live and die by their schedule. So they contacted us and said, look, we really need a solution that's tried and true, that is that will not ever fail us. And so we took that seriously, and they had a very advanced scheduling scenario, much more advanced than you'd think of for like just a small space jump. But that's key. That was key to their business, and we took that seriously and solved the problem. They're still a client. That's been 18 years. So we took that, and then in local, let's say, technology now, I mean, we've grown a company from two people to over 30 now, right? And these are highly skilled positions. And, you know, our Department of Development Authority really likes SES, you know, because we're making changes. We're bringing people in from all across the country to come work as team members. And so as we're working with them, we recently did the Mississippi CARES Act. I'm sorry, the federal CARES Act money that was redistributed to small businesses. We had a chance to distribute over $200 million through that program. SES built the software. We built the hosting environment for it. We did all the security. We did all the support and help desk supporting thousands, tens of thousands of businesses that needed this money and this relief. And we did so in record time. We built the software and its fundamentals in 7 days. And we went on to administer the program with a couple other partners throughout the several months to distribute the money. But the foundations of it, to distribute over $200 million, built in 7 days. There's very few places you can go to get that kind of effort and make it a success. And it was. We were really identified as one of the most successful programs in the country because we did so without many hiccups, which is just fantastic. So, you know, we have the small, we have the large, and then we also have a national presence, Andy. We have we do a lot in the financial securities market. We have a program that helps support the regulation of security sales in all 50 states. And, you know, we're real proud of being part of that kind of initiative and the impact we're able to do there. And so, you know, from a small, very small, all the way to the very large, you know, it's sort of, the process is the same. If you take the client's needs seriously, as if they were your own, remember, be the client, then you're insured to be a success. And so we've taken that very seriously since our existence.
I love it, Coy. And for the entrepreneurs watching the show, I mean, rewind what Coy just said. I mean, here we are. He started with two folding tables and two people, and he had a passion and a dream. He wrote down his core competencies, and he wrote down the things that he wanted to focus on. And here he is, you know, an award-winning technologist. I mean, they've won so many awards at the company, it's hard to keep up. And, you know, the awards are just for contributing, you know, to drive the technology, you know, not only nationwide, but of course in the Mississippi area. Now, Coy, I know you're so excited about your team. You know, we always talk about corporate culture starting at the top, and, you know, you have to walk the walk and talk the talk. But you mentioned you have such a high power group of technologists that work with you at the company. Let's talk about the team. How important as the CEO is it to put together the right team so that they're meshing together in a way that's meaningful for your clients?
Andy, I'll answer it first by saying there's nothing harder to do than manage a complete zoo of geniuses. That said, we enjoy it. We try to celebrate our differences. We certainly understand that having a variety of experience, life experiences on a team help us develop the most fulsome solutions in the software development. See, what's clear to me on, let's say, a user interface may not be clear to someone else. And so if you can have a collaborative effort of different people with different backgrounds and different perspectives, you know, you get their two cents on these team projects, and you end up with a more useful, more acceptable user interface. And it's really something like that's so simple. So our team, super high powered folks, they've had experiences from Department of Defense. They've had experiences in the Office of the President. I've got team members from Naval Warfare. We've got people who have nuclear experience. You got cellular experience. And you name it. And you put all these guys and ladies into a room and say, okay, guys, we have a solution that the client is looking at. It's never been done before. Where do we want to start? You know, let's start warboarding. So we'll get out the sticky notes and start writing down the concepts. Just free for all. There's no wrong answer. And we'll just start putting them up on the board. You know, give that about a half hour. It doesn't take long, but you just kind of have a brainstorming session. And then we look back at the board. It's usually kind of grouping things together and say, okay, we have a good vision of how to tackle this. And we're inventing something. That is such a critical first step. Just what are the components? And so once we're there, now it's time to separate it into, okay, this team, here are your responsibilities. This is your team, do this responsibility. And, you know, we all know on these teams that we're experts in our own sort of lines of business, right? And so when you have that, we also know what each other are good at. So we do these weekly sessions, and this is something started about a year ago or a couple of years ago, and I just love it. It's lunch with the CEO or lunch with one of your, or a CXO, right, position. And the idea is to put team members who don't spend a lot of time on a project, you know, maybe they haven't worked together in 8 months or even a year, right? Or maybe it's a new team member. And they haven't really met or integrated themselves into, let's say, a software developer and an engineer. You know, hey, let's all eat lunch together and just kind of talk about our background. Well, the next project we're on, these team members know what their other team members are good at. They know what kind of resources they have access to within the organization. So when something comes out, they know exactly where to turn. They don't have to beat their head on it. You know, they can move forward. They make a quick Teams message, you know, and say, hey, you ever seen something like this before? Well, yeah, I'm working on one right now. Let me pop in and take care of it for you. That's so powerful. And from a client's perspective, you end up being able to solve those problems more quickly, which turns into money. You save projects money by being so collaborative and fulsome in our solution. So working with a team like this has just been the best experience of my life. I just can't imagine ever going back to something less than this. I think the world can be done better. And this is certainly a step in that right direction.
I love it. I love when you say, I think the world can be done better. You have a great team, you know, a big group of geniuses that you have to try and manage. And I'm sure that's very exciting. But one thing that certainly comes through, Coy, when you talk about technology and you talk about your team, I mean, for the entrepreneurs watching the show, rewind what Coy just said, he gets a sparkle in his eye. And that's what it's all about. I mean, as an entrepreneur, when you love what you do. Now, of course, at SCS, we get consulting, we get project management, network engineering, software development. I mean, enterprise provisioning. There's a lot that's going on. And I don't want to unpack it all, but here's what I was thinking when I was, you know, getting ready for our meeting today. I want to know, Coy, what the first conversation sounds like with a potential client, whether it's you or somebody else on your team. What are sort of the questions that come up from companies seeking your services at SCS? What's the big problem that you're seeing a lot of these companies now experiencing that they need your help with?
Okay, that's a really good question. So I think we get three different types of calls, okay? The first one is among the most obvious. And of course, if you have technology entrepreneurs, they're going to be very familiar with this one. It's help, right? That's the call you don't really want. It's somebody who hasn't used you yet, and they're just trying to make sense of what just went on. You know, if they lost a database, they've been hacked, you know, and they'd really, whatever circumstance that led to that, now they're at your front door or on your phone. And so that's one call. And I think we all know how that goes down. The other one is when you try to get ahead of a situation. You make an introduction to a client and you say, hi, I'm here to help you, right? And that is usually, if they're taking the meeting, usually it means that they've already identified that there's something in their technology department or in their business that they either need evaluating, can be done better or automated. They're seeing something and they're just waiting for me or somebody to tell them, look, there is a better way of doing things. You're right to identify it. You know, let's talk further, you know? And so that very first meeting is really about getting to know them, getting to building a little bit of trust and rapport, and then saying, look, who are the stakeholders? Who are the experts that I can have my team reach out to, learn more about the problem, and let's take it from there. And I'll come back to you with more information to say, we have an approach now. Or maybe it's not an approach at all. You know, not every problem is solved with technology. You know, and sometimes it's, you know, the print button doesn't work. Well, why are you printing it? Oh, I guess we don't need to be printing it. And so, wow, okay, problem solved. But that's just an example. But so the first conversations go down like that. And then, of course, you have the ones where technology is evolving, right? There's some amount of, and the word is technical debt, right? You end up with situations where people have invested a whole lot of money into technology 10 years ago, right? They either built a software solution and it's aged, you know, it's been maintained a little bit, maybe some things have been bolting onto it, but it's aged. And now it's time to reevaluate, hey, is it still solving our problem? Has the industry, our competitors, are they using new techniques to accomplish these same goals? Should we reevaluate building a better software solution? And that's a lot of times when I get called. And I like it when people can have those conversations in the forefront. It means you're thinking about the business. You know, and technology changes under you whether you want it to or not. So we've actually seen some clients say, well, look, you know, we have VB, or Visual Basic, installed everywhere in our company. Like all of our old programs, we invested in this for the last 15 years. We've been writing it all in VB. My senior staff, all VB programmers. Well, VB's on its way out the door. We all know this. It's a very sad thing. I myself loved Visual Basic. I've coded in it for 20 years. It's gone, right? So, well, it's leaving. It's not gone. It's dying. And hey, that's okay. Things die. So now we have to adopt these new models and we have to adopt and put in these new techniques and new languages. And in fact, I spent the majority of this morning dealing with something like that. So it's exciting to be a part of this on the forefront, but you know, it's also difficult conversations because, hey, there's budgets to discuss, there's timing, you know, and people say, well, look, we don't have the budget right now. And we say, well, great, but don't be caught when it's an emergency. You know, give us, let's plan it out. Let's take the couple of months to build it out. Let's not look up and say, oh gosh, the manufacturing line is down and we're going to be down until someone rewrites this thing. That's a terrible place to be. So we were happy to get those calls on the forefront. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it makes all the sense in the world, the way that you and your team approach it, Coy. You know, one thing that you become very well known for is you and your team are able to take the complex and present it in the simple. In other words, you're able to take all these complex ideas and all these complex brains that you have working over there and be able to present it in a way that your customers understand, in a way that resonates for them. And that's one of the powerful things that you're able to do, Coy. And this sort of leads me to the next part of what I want to talk to you about, because I know you've only sliced out a certain amount of time and I really appreciate it. I couldn't wait to get you on the call and on our interview show today. But let's talk about entrepreneurship, because here you are, you started with two folding tables. I don't know if they were wood or plastic, you know, back in the day, probably had a brown phone that was connected, you know, by a cord to the, you know, to the wall. And, you know, this was a while back. But for the entrepreneurs watching the show, Coy, the younger entrepreneurs, let's say they're hitting a roadblock. Let's say they're hitting a pothole in the road. Let's say they freeze in the frame. They just don't know what to do. They don't have that experience. Maybe you can give some practical advice or some encouragement to the younger entrepreneurs watching the show who are maybe hitting a roadblock right now, and tell them what it takes to get through that roadblock and come out the other side, you know, having a powerful and positive experience for going through that challenge?
I think the best advice I could give them is don't let fear drive you. The hardest thing to do, to respect the fear, respect the problems, be afraid. I'm afraid I can't make payroll. I'm afraid of signing this long-term lease because it's a five-year lease. We just started up, you know, and you hear about the fear. I don't want to sign this. Can I make a delay? And then people will delay on making those progressions, right? So you have to have, let's say, and I like the lease example because that was one that hurt us, is when's the right time to sign a five-year lease? because you're signing up for, you know, it could be $500,000. And then that's a lot of money, you know, and you're saying, well, am I going to make that in the next 5 years? Well, yeah, but we still got to eat. And so you don't want to have those things stand in your way. You have to move through them. And I mean, do it with managed growth, have a plan, right? But don't, and be respectful of the fear. See, but don't let it drive you, right? We use examples like this. Fear will make you make very dumb short-term decisions, you know? And you don't want to do that because acts of desperation, they look like acts of desperation. They feel like it. They're not always the best answer. So you want to spend the time to evaluate your opportunities and your options. And when you do that evaluation, I like to look at it from a time cone, right? And then I like this. Stephen Hawking had a neat book, A Brief History of Time, and he describes time cones. But I've taken it a step further in my understanding and saying, look, I'm right here in this point of time. I am at point A. And then I can have all these opportunities inside this cone. These are my opportunities, all possible from today. But as I advance the time cone, some of those opportunities are lost on me, and I can no longer access them, right? I'll use a lottery as an example. Hey, my opportunity to play these numbers is right now. But if I don't play them until after the lottery is drawn and the numbers are selected, I've lost my chance to pick those numbers. Time has progressed and you missed your opportunity. So don't miss those opportunities. Don't be afraid to take them and learn from your mistakes. Best advice somebody had given me a long time ago is entrepreneurship is the culmination of 10 million very, very small decisions and four important ones. And I said, wow, okay, that's it. And I never really understood what he meant. And it took 10 years for that to really sink in and to understand that. And now I really, really do.
Wow, Coy, that's great. I'm going to rewind that myself. So entrepreneurialism is the culmination of 10 million small decisions and four big ones. I love that so much. That's great. Coy, I could see the name of your book that I'm sure you're going to be writing will be Respect the Fear. And I love that so much. That's a great entrepreneurial story that you gave and some great insight into what you're doing at SCS. Of course, it's remarkable what's happening at BeTheGeek.com. And so many people are reaching out and you really have a great team. Listen, this has been a great conversation. I think I'm going to bring you back on the show because I want to get further into this entrepreneurial journey that you have, because it's just so fascinating and interesting. And some of the insights that you have, you just can't get anywhere else from somebody that hasn't been through it like you've been through it, Coy. So listen, this has been great. I wanted to thank you so much for coming on the show. I mean, the people that watch the .com magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series, you know, they expect and deserve the best of the best. And in this particular case, we brought you on, we've got it. And the rest is going to be history. So, Coy, thank you so much for coming on the show. This has been awesome.
Andy, thank you for having me. I'm again super proud and honored to be a part of this. Remember, come check our website out at www.bethegeek.com. We're software consulting services, SCS, and we're here to serve you. So thanks again, Andy. Appreciate your time.